Hello everybody, this is Tantra FM and I'm your host Valentino. Today we shall be dealing with the following articles. The Ascension of the Sexual Energy. In order to master the art of sexual continence, you have to learn how to raise your sexual energy along the spine and make it circulate through your body. For this, you may perform asanas, pranayama, bandhas, and mudras. In the following, you will be introduced to a yoga technique called Ukshepana that will help you sublimate your sexual energy. This technique is called the Cold Rising by Taoists. You may perform this technique at any moment in which you feel that the sexual energy is stagnant in the genital area, making you nervous, irritable, stressed, or confused. The sooner you succeed in sublimating the sexual energy from the genital area, the sooner you will experience all body orgasms. Finally, you will be able to use this energy in order to improve your health, experience more harmony and happiness. Yama, Part 1. Ahimsa. The word ahimsa is composed of a, which means no, and himsa, which means violence or opposition. Ahimsa is that inner quality which stops you from doing harm to any living being through speech, thinking, or action. Ahimsa implies kindness, not to torture or kill other living beings. It is the profound respect and admiration for life in any form, be it plants, insects, animals, or humans. Ahimsa is much more than a request for not being violent. It has the positive meaning of intense and detached love for every living creature. Violence is born out of fear, weakness, ignorance, or restlessness. In order to control violence, it is thus necessary to overcome these symptoms through a new, superior attitude towards life and through reintegrating all your being into the eternal aspects of the Supreme Reality. Yama, Part 2. Satya. Satya, or truthfulness, is the most important rule in Tantra. Mahatma Gandhi said, "Truth is God, and God is truth." The truth was and still is highly respected and worshipped in yoga tradition. All human activities are based upon the spoken word, and the person who dishonors the spoken word by being dishonest can be considered a thief, because what he steals is reality. Satya means that you should not say something that you know is false. It means that you should not lead others into error by making them believe you know something when you only presume. Satya implies to abstain from hurried judgments about something you only know superficially. Yama, Part 3. Astya. Astya means not stealing. This implies not to take something that is not yours, to use something only the way it is supposed to be used or the way it is permitted to be used. Astya requires a lack of greed. Obsessively wishing to have something that somebody else has, even if it is necessary or valuable for us, leads to a lack of balance and unhappiness. The sage Vyasa said, "Astya is realized when the yogi, free from any desire, refuses to take possession of things that belong to others. Therefore, if somebody obsessively wants something that belongs to another person and takes it, he is most definitely a thief. But if he does not take it, he is not a thief, yet he does not follow astya." Astya is when you do not take and do not desire something valuable that belongs to another person. Astya implies to refrain from any kind of injustice, to let everybody have exactly what they deserve. Please stay with us because we shall perform a meditation on the state of humility towards the end of our broadcast. The Ascension of the Sexual Energy. In order to master the art of sexual continence, you have to learn how to raise your sexual energy along the spine and make it circulate through your whole body. For this, you may perform asanas, pranayama, bandhas, and mudras. In the following, you will be introduced to a yoga technique known as Ukshepana that will help you sublimate your sexual energy. This technique is called the Cold Rising by Taoists. You may perform this technique at any moment in which you feel that the sexual energy is stagnant in the genital area, making you nervous, irritable, stressed, or even confused. The sooner you succeed in sublimating the sexual energy from the genital area, the sooner you will experience all body orgasms. Finally, you will be able to use this energy in order to improve your health, experience more harmony and happiness. Either alone or with your lover, Ukshepana will help you decrease the impulse to ejaculate. When you feel sexually aroused, but you do not want or cannot make love, the following technique will allow you to release the sexual tension and transform this energy into more refined forms of energy. This is the safest and most secure method for men to get rid of sexual frustration and excitement, as well as to facilitate the flow of the healing energy to the brain and heart. This technique allows you to increase the level of your energy anytime and anywhere, while waiting in line, at the office, or even if you have to wake up in the middle of the night because of a very strong erection. The technique for raising the energy. You have to improve your awareness of your perineum area in order to derive the best effects from this technique. In short, you will use your muscles in order to lift and lower the testicles and your mind in order to raise the sexual energy from the genital area to the crown of your head. According to Tantric and Taoist traditions, non-ejaculatory orgasms allow men to preserve their seed, their hormones, the vitamins, proteins, and amino acids contained in it, as well as to preserve their energy. In the case of men, the testicles are the factories of sexual energy, and this is where you extract the energy required for any activity. This technique will allow you to sublimate the sexual energy from the genital area and make it circulate along the spine, through your body, stimulating all the nerves in its way. Soon, you will be able to perceive these waves of pleasure anytime, without even needing to be excited. In addition, this will make you have a brighter and happier day. The technique itself. Number 1. Warm your testicles in one hand until you perceive a slight shiver or a startle of sexual energy. Number 2. Inhale and slowly contract the muscles around the testicles, perineum, and anus. Imagine that you absorb the sexual energy and draw it through the testicles towards the perineum. Number 3. Exhale and relax the muscles, but keep your attention focused on the sexual energy. Number 4. Continue the process described above until you perceive a warm tingling in the perineum. After you succeed in setting this energy into motion, you may begin to imagine your spine as a straw through which you absorb the energy from the testicles and direct it to the crown of the head. Repeat this technique for 15 to 20 minutes daily, or until you perceive a light or tingling sensation in the area of the head. Try to maintain the focus of the energy in the area above your crown. Number 5. Become aware of the new vigor you perceive in your whole body. Learning how to raise the sexual energy requires time, but do not become discouraged. In the beginning, you will perceive the sexual energy like a tingling sensation along your spine. When you feel the energy accumulated in the area of the head, you will know that the technique was successful.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the key to your heart. I'm your host, Amaris. Yama, Part 1. Ahimsa. The word Ahimsa is composed of Ah, which means no, and Himsa, which means violence, opposition. Ahimsa is that inner quality which stops you from doing harm to any living being through speech, thoughts, or action. Ahimsa implies the kindness not to torture and kill other living beings, the profound respect and admiration for life in any form, plants, insects, animals, and humans. Ahimsa is much more than a request to not be violent. It has the positive meaning of intense and detached love for every living creature. violence is born out of fear, weakness, ignorance, or restlessness. To control violence, it is thus necessary to overcome these through a new superior attitude towards life, and by reintegrating all of your being into the eternal aspects of the Supreme Reality. Every living creature has the same right to live in peace as you do, and all beings should respect that right. There are different levels of violence and nonviolence. With a very bad motivation, one can show a kind attitude, the goal of which is to try to lead us in the wrong direction. That attitude is the worst kind of violence. For a bad deed performed by someone, people ask for severe justice. But for something done by themselves, they beg for mercy and forgiveness. But the tantrics know that the superior man is the man of mea culpa, my fault. Realizing in total honesty the effects of your own mistakes. The inferior man is the man of tua culpa, your fault, seeing only the mistakes of others. Ahimsa does not mean tolerating or passively accepting violence or evil. It means resisting violence and evil, but with detachment and while loving the person through which that evil manifests. This is the genuine attitude of martial arts, for instance. Repentance is more valuable than severe punishment. Opposition to evil and love for the person who commits it can and must coexist. Resistance to evil without love leads to violence. Loving a person who commits evil without resisting that evil is madness. The battle is always won by he who fights with love. Ahimsa also implies a lack of unnecessary criticism. It demands respect for the views and convictions of others. It means to listen to and approach with an open mind ideas which are not identical to your own, to respect the right of others to think differently, and to also believe in different values than your own. Besides ahimsa, one should practice abhaya, lack of fear, and akrodha, lack of anger, when one relates permanently to the immortal aspect of his being, there can be no more fear or anger, but only wisdom and beatitude. Yama, Part 2. Satya. Satya, or truthfulness, is the most important rule in Tantra. Mahatma Gandhi has said, "Truth is God, and God is truth." Truth has been and still is highly respected and valued in the yogi tradition. All human activities are based upon the spoken word, and the person who dishonors the spoken word by being dishonest can be considered indeed a thief, because he steals reality. Satya means that you should not say anything which you know to be false. It also means that you should not lead others into error by making them believe that you know something when you only presume that you do. Satya also implies not making hurried judgments about things of which you only have a superficial knowledge. Satya is a very large concept. It means fair play. It means behaving correctly with everyone and respecting truth in thoughts, in actions, and in speech. The true tantric consecrates his entire life to the truth in its broadest sense. This implies thinking in the highest patterns and relating to everything that is superior, universally valid, and in accordance with cosmic harmony. Gurdjieff, the great Caucasian initiate, said that lying is thinking or speaking about things one does not know. It does not only include intentional lying. For example, if you collect all the theories that people have put forward on different subjects without knowing much about them or having only a superficial knowledge, you will then be able to see where lying begins. Man does not know himself. In fact, he does not know anything. Yet he has theories about all things. Most of these theories are lies. The most serious form of lying is when we know perfectly well that we do not and cannot know the truth about things, and yet we don't act accordingly. We always act and think as if we know the truth. This is lying. For instance, we know nothing about ourselves, and we really know that we know nothing, yet we never recognize or admit the fact. We never confess it even to ourselves. We act and think and speak as though we know who we are. This is the origin, the beginning of lying. Therefore, it is necessary to learn to tell the truth. This may seem strange. Most people think that it is enough to want to tell the truth in order to be able to actually do it. But it is relatively rare that people deliberately tell lies. In most of the cases, they think that they're saying the truth. In spite of that, they lie all the time, both to themselves and to the people around them. Telling the truth is the most difficult thing in the world. It is necessary to study and practice a lot and for a long time in order to one day become able to speak the truth. The desire to tell the truth alone is not enough. In order to be able to tell the truth, you must be able to know what is true and what is false, especially inside of yourself. Telling the truth is extremely difficult. Before telling the truth, you must know it through personal experience. You must discover the truth about yourself. We lie not only through speech, but through actions and attitudes as well. To behave as if we did something we did not do, or to pretend that we have achieved something that is still far away from us, is in fact to lie. Being dishonest with ourselves and or emulating, superficially imitating what we admire in others, is not in accordance with Satya. Another aspect of Satya was perfectly expressed by Jesus when he said, "Do not give to dogs that which is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces." Matthew 7:6. In other words, the truth, mainly as the sacred spiritual teaching, must not be given without discrimination to those who cannot appreciate it or recognize its value. Sometimes, fantasy distorts the truth, with or without conscious intention. As a result, we live in a world of dreams, where we see the world as we would like it to be and not as it is. From the yoga point of view, this is a violation of Satya and is due to a great superficiality of thought. The sacred texts of the yoga tradition say that the truth will be used to everybody's benefit, and not to destroy or harm living beings. Therefore, if you tell the truth, but by doing so you harm a living being, you are committing a big mistake and you are not correctly following Satya, but are meanwhile also violating Ahimsa. The great sage Vyasa said, "The wise man must first decide what is good for the living beings, and only after that he can speak, refraining from lying." As we've seen above, in order to tell and especially to impart the truth, it is imperiously necessary to realize that truth in ourselves in the first place. This is done through practical experimentation of that truth. This is why the deepest and the highest meaning of Satya is the complete inner transformation leading to the discovery of the eternal inner essence, the immortal spirit, or Atman. In accordance with our level of consciousness, truth becomes more complex. That which you believed was true during childhood is revealed to be false or unimportant when you reach adulthood. Nevertheless, that truth of childhood was necessary and useful because through it you managed to discover the real truth of adulthood. This can also be applied to spiritual practice. At the beginning, only small truths can be given and received. After inner transformation, these small truths become unimportant aspects of a general truth that you now can grasp in its fullness. Lao Tzu, the famous Chinese sage, said that everything that can be said about the supreme truth becomes a lie when you reach it. Yama, Part 3. Asteya. Asteya means not stealing. This implies not taking something which is not yours, and using things only in the way in which they're supposed to be used, or in the way in which it is permitted for you to use them. Asteya requires, therefore, a lack of greed. Wishing obsessively to have something that somebody else has, even if it is necessary or valuable, leads to a lack of balance and to unhappiness. The sage Vyasa has said, "Asteya is realized when the yogi, free from any desire, refuses to take possession of things that belong to others. Therefore, if somebody obsessively wants something that belongs to another person and takes it, he is a thief. If he does not take it, then he's not a thief, but he's still not following asteya. Asteya is when you do not take and do not desire something valuable that belongs to another person. Asteya also implies refraining from any kind of injustice and letting everyone have exactly what he or she deserves. Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means continence, refraining or retention. In the tantric vision, brahmacharya is realized through the sublimation and transmutation of the sexual energy, using it for psychomental and spiritual purposes. The secret here is to achieve a perfect control over the sexual energy. This is not done through giving up sex, but through a plenary erotic activity in which the couple separates orgasm from ejaculation, and suspends ejaculation no matter how long, intense, or often the lovemaking. The purpose of suspending ejaculation is double: to retain the seminal fluid, conserving thus energy and achieving higher states of sexual pleasure and fulfillment, and to transmute the energy, and thus to achieve expanded levels of consciousness. The most recent conclusions of modern sexology agree with traditional tantric teachings. Sexual therapists are now starting to encourage couples to focus more on the process of lovemaking rather than on the end result, ejaculation. The secret treaty Vijnana Bhairava Tantra says, "Stay with the erotic fire of the beginning and avoid the poison of the end." The satisfaction found in this way is incomparably greater than having an ejaculatory orgasm. The most revolutionary conclusion of sexual research is that the man doesn't need to ejaculate at all when making love to a woman. The fundamental error couples make, due to ignorance and bad habit, is to believe that ejaculation and orgasm are one and the same thing. That orgasm can be achieved through ejaculation only, and therefore ejaculation is the peak pleasure for the couple. Some women believe that if they're not capable of bringing their man to a powerful ejaculation, It means they're not sensual enough. There is nothing more false. Stated with extreme simplicity, orgasm is an intense beatific state of consciousness and a cancelling of the ego with profound harmonizing, relaxing, and regenerative effects. Male and female ejaculations are only complex physiologic processes of explosively energy discharges with dim manifestations of a brief incipient orgasm experienced in a selfish unilateral way. During ejaculation, the vital energy is quickly wasted for no purpose, except of course when conception is wanted. In this completely new and spiritual approach, sexuality becomes a modality of self-knowledge and spiritual growth. The extraordinary intensity of emotions felt in this way transfigures both man and woman, revealing unknown dimensions of their psyche. Sexual union between two lovers who deeply love each other becomes a modality of concentrating and directing the consciousness towards the Supreme Being. Due to the enormous intensity of this union, the consciousness of both lovers develops and fuses at the beginning between themselves and later with the cosmic consciousness. The indescribable beatitude then felt embraces all things and beings. All that remains is a never-ending thirst for unity. Only a lover and a loved one. Aparigraha. Aparigraha means not to pile up. The meaning of this is not to accumulate that which you don't really need, because this creates undesirable links, hindering the harmonious development of the human being. Aparigraha does not mean to be satisfied with little, but to totally enjoy that which you have, even if your possessions are very modest. The key here is to have full control over your possessions and not to allow them to control you through the greed or possessiveness that they may create in you. With the same happiness that we enjoy physical, mental, or spiritual possessions, we should be able to give them away. Possess your things and your inner qualities as if you did not have them. However, material possessions are not an impediment if you are perfectly detached, and this does not mean being indifferent, but simply being fully aware of the place of those possessions in your life. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, the state of humility. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you are eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect, the state of humility. Let us begin.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time.